I haven't tried reading before a series of poems that I wrote on, they're kind of a riff on Rainer Maria Rilke's poem called Archaic Torso of Apollo. And I guess I'd had a few poems in mind. You know, in music you have the variations on a theme, Goldberg variations, where you start with an original theme from another musician, and then you just play on it, find as many variations in the key and in the themes as you can. And I was thinking, there's a particular way in which we don't really do that in poetry. It's where you take an original poem by someone else, can be in another language or your language, and then you just riff on it with just kind of stretching the themes out one way or another, or picking up one particular aspect of the poem and then playing that as though they were variations on a musical theme. So I'm going to just read a few of these. I'll read the my translation of the original, and I guess there are parts of the poem that became, I guess, the touchstones for the riffs later. There would be something in each stanza of the original Rilke poem that I would then try and build in different ways into the later poems. But I'll just read the original, and then you'll hear the resonances later. We cannot grasp his outlandish head, where his eyes once ripened like apples. But his torso still shines like a candelabra, in which his look, turned back down to a luminescence, lasts. Otherwise, the curve of his breast couldn't blind you, nor a smile penetrate to that midst in the lazy furl of his loins where all begetting starts. Otherwise, this stone wouldn't look put off and small under the flow of its transparent shoulder, wouldn't glisten, like a wild animal's fur, nor break out suddenly from its every limit like a star. For here there is nothing that cannot see you. You must change your life. Impossible last line, Rilke. The translators have always translated it the same way, one after the other. They're all the same. Du musst dein Leben ändern. You must change your life. So, you know, it would be sacrilege to play with it. The first two or three of them are very close to the original, just kind of starting to stretch away from it, and then it just gets a little bit carried away at this stage. What a ripoff! This one's got no head. Funny how they leave the damned thing out, wrecked the way it is, and ballsy of them, shining the lamp right where the rock is broken, like they want you to see that you're not really getting the full bang for your statue buck. I wonder that more people here aren't staring, what with the buff pecs and all, his weird package just out there. I bet if some gay guy looked long enough, he'd get a rise out of it, stalk it like some crazy wolf on a prowl. Now why am I feeling that the whole room is looking my way? Those two over there, like I was a star or something. Or is it just me? Papa, look, here's a funny one. How come he has no head? Do you think someone dropped him and he broke? Can you lift me up? I want to look down at the neck where the break is. Wow, he's made of rock on the inside too. Hey, know what? His thingy looks just like the one on the Ken doll. Hold me steady so I can climb up behind. You know, like with those cardboard movie stars at the fair where the head is cut out, leaving a big hole in the middle, big enough for you to put your face into. We'll take a picture for the show and tell board at school, and everyone will see me. They'll think I'm someone else. This way, folks, gather round. Thank you. With this piece, male torso, dating from the 5th century BCE, critics have noted resemblances to the statue of Apollo, sculpted by Canacus of Sicyon for the temple at Didyma. I bet you didn't know the old man lost his head over Daphne, did you? I say, I bet you didn't know, never mind. Apollo, as you know, was the god of truth and light, also medicine, healing, and of course poetry and the arts. That's what poetry is, a poet once said to me, a figure without a head, though I'm not sure what he meant. I'll just lower the room light here and turn this one down like so, there, to help draw out the sinew textures and lively abdominal detailing, which, oh, madam, we ask that our guests not touch the stone. No, not even lightly. And yes, even if it is already broken. Very funny. No, not there either, please. It doesn't matter if there are fingerprints already. That isn't the point. Even hard stone can go soft with too much rubbing. As I say, this fine specimen of the high classical period was unearthed in the theater at Miletus in Asia Minor only 150 years ago. Think of all that time gone by before the poor man could see the light of day. I like to think of his head, even now, the open eyes still buried somewhere below, waiting to wake up. He's become a star attraction for us, and I think that's because he doesn't have it. His mind, I mean. Ever wonder how that would feel, being pure body, a thoughtless, dumb animal? Makes you think. Next room, folks, there to the left, yes, to the cabinet with the Grecian urns. Ma'am, I'll have to ask you to keep up with us. No, I'm sorry, you can't. Look, there are surveillance cameras up there in every corner. Lady, get a life. The head goes on last when you dress a mannequin. First, you have to get the lighting right. Show how the muscles ride in their own wake just so before you put the clothes on. In whatever fashions you work with, the body has to come through in the end. Like this one, all angular chest, the chiseled look, good six-pack, the V-shaped vector, his action all snug and tidy inside bikini briefs. But you don't leave it at that. It's an art form being a dresser, working with the parts of things. Most people don't even take time to look or appreciate, for instance, how I've made this one suggest a restless impatience, a breaking out, you know, like it didn't want to be a mannequin anymore, wanted to come alive or change into the one thing it wasn't. People should empathize when they pass. I would never tell this to the boss, but sometimes I leave the head on the floor just there beside the body, its face turned to the street, and then I hang around to see if people notice that they're being watched back. But I don't know. It doesn't seem to make any difference. Let's make this the last one. Grimmer. After a bomb explodes next to it, and especially when the head is taken right off the way this one is, a body will often lie down just so by a dusty roadside covered with mines or in a trench, not curled for sleep, but as though a comedian in a charade were doing someone fallen over in shock, on his back, arms and legs in the air, shaking. The best jokers will keep it up long after you've stopped thinking it funny. They're not always this naked, but a severe blast can tear the clothes open so easily you would think he'd stumbled from an unplanned tryst. Someone in love trying to get at him in a hurry, chest glistening with sweat showing through where the buttons ripped, belt and buckle flung aside, and his manly V-lines under the washboard abs guiding your eye into the midst, the lazy, private center where a young man does most of his thinking about the future. Not this one, of course, the head being gone, and not likely to be found, I should add, in all this muck and water, where likely it would look like fur off a dead animal. But sometimes, if we're lucky, the stars come out like this at dusk, pretty up there in patterns, filling the sky with shining eyes all over. You have to figure a man without a head would be the last thing on earth they would have imagined illuminating.